Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
And this mighty God, we say, God, you reign. God, you reign. Your kingdom reigns forever. And we want you to show us your glory, God. So, Father, I pray even now, God, that as we're preparing, God, for your word, Father, I pray even now, God, prepare our ears, God, dig them out, God, that we would hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say unto us, the church, God. I pray even now, God, for every heart that is hardened, God, that you would cause it, God, to turn back to a heart of flesh even now, God. I pray right now, God, for the conviction of your truth, God. Let your truth come, God, with power, God, the force of a hammer, God, breaking, God, the hard places even now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we pray even now, God, for the revealed truth, the revelation, God, bringing in such a manner, God, that every person, God, down to the children, God, to the teenagers, God, would understand, comprehend, Father God. But don't let it stop right there, God, but they would be so convicted, God, that we would make application of what you're saying, God. Father, I pray that your word will weigh heavy upon us even now, God, that we can't shake it, God. Let the word deal with us in such a way, God, that it challenges us, God. It changes us, God. It transforms us, God, to become more like you, God. So we thank you right now, God, in advance for what you will speak, God, what you will show, and what you will reveal, God. We give your name all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If you got your Bibles, while you're standing, we're going to go to the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, chapter number 11, verse number 2. And the word of our holy God reads, it says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You can take your seats in Jesus' mighty name. Yes, our God reigns. I just feel that. Oh, I just feel that thing. I know we've been talking about trap house. And our foundational scriptures for trap house, we came out of the book of Proverbs, chapter number 29, verse number 25, talking about the fear of man becomes a snare unto him. Depicting or highlighting the trap. And then where we begin to deal with the house in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 19, it talks about these bodies. Supposed to be the sanctuaries of the Holy Ghost, denoting sanctuary, but denoting house or abode for the Holy Spirit to abide. So we understand that our bodies are mobile houses or mobile sanctuaries for the Holy Spirit to rest, abide, and rule in. So here we've taken this and we've combined them to let you understand that trap house. And we've been speaking about trap house because when you think about trap house, it's a fixture that you will find in urban communities, and predominantly in urban communities, but now you're finding trap houses all over the place, right? Some are just not dilapidated buildings. They're nice, beautiful homes, but in the basement of these homes, there are meth organizations that are running. Still a trap house, it's just beautiful. But nevertheless, it's a trap house. So we've talked about trap house and we've talked about the addiction element. When an addict goes to the trap house seeking the drug of choice. And we talked about how this particular body in and of itself can become a trap house. If you're not careful, because we initially dealt with fear first and how our foundational scripture in Proverbs 29:25 talks about the fear man becomes a snare. If you're dealing with fear, and don't allow God to deliver you from fear. Fear will cause you to become trapped on the inside of you, thereby hindering you from walking in not just your purpose, but understanding your identity of who God has called you to be. Because you're trapped by fear. So we dealt with fear, and then we moved to condemnation. Pastor Ivan was breaking down the condemnation, coupled with the guilt that we feel but how condemnation becomes like a judgment because of the sin that we've dealt with, and how it ensnares you based off of feeling, because you feel bad based on things that you have done. Because the truth be told, when God created you with a knowing, a conscience, where you know the difference between right and wrong. And so when you find yourself actually doing wrong, you feel bad. Oh, yes, you feel bad. You may not always want to express that or talk about it. Some of us will lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that it didn't matter. Like, I don't care. I don't feel anything. It's a lie. The fact that you feel nothing is something. Right? The fact that you feel nothing is something. And so as we move from fear to condemnation, we're now dealing with pride. Oh, the subtle spirit of pride. And so the topic or the title that I am going to be trying to work with today is called Ride Along. And I guarantee you, most of y'all, when you hear that, you think about Kevin Hart's two movies. Sort of kind of little play off of that. But I want you to understand how we get to this particular topic. Because lately God has been dealing with me about words, seeing words housed inside of other words. Well, when you look at the word pride, housed inside of the word pride is the word ride. And when you understand pride, pride takes you on a ride. Either you're going to find yourself high or you're going to be real, real low dealing with pride. So hence the title, Ride Along. So today the drug of choice that we were dealing with is pride. Because some of us go to the trap house seeking pride. Yeah. And typically after you deal with condemnation, if you're not careful, you will rise up in pride. Oh, yeah, somebody know what I'm talking about. After feeling bad, you would tell yourself, I'm tired of feeling this way and I need to do something. I need to make them what? Adjustments. And the real adjustment or the only adjustment that you find yourself making is operating or flowing in pride. Pride. So ride along, ride along, ride along. We're going to show you how pride takes you on a ride. And if you're not careful to jump out before you get to this trap house, your life is going to be damaged, destroyed, torn apart by pride. When we first initially talked about fear, we broke this open talking about trap house. I gave you the opportunity to raise your hand and say, hey, my name is such and such, and I am an addict. Because we talked about we all have addictive behavior, addictive habits. In other words, no, you might not be smoking a drug of choice, snorting a drug of choice, shooting up a drug of choice. But for some of you, you got to have Starbucks every day. For example, I know Mike don't mind it, but Mike is hooked on the Chick-fil-A. It's his drug of choice. You understand? That's a drug of choice. Some of you is chocolate, ice cream, certain television shows. I've heard people talk about, I got to watch my GOT. I got to watch my GOT. Ooh, my GOT is about to come on. If you don't know what I'm saying, it's Game of Thrones, drug of choice. I don't know nothing about that. Game of Thrones. Just the name messed me up, Game of Thrones. The name had messed me up, and I was like, can't watch that. All right? So, we all have addictive behavior in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And I know you might not be willing to say it, but I'm going to go ahead and leave. Hi, my name is Lincoln Nelson, and I'm an addict. Thank you. You understand what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say, hi, Lincoln. You understand what I'm saying. Yeah, we're going to try it again. Hi, my name is Lincoln Nelson, and I'm an addict. All right. I'm going to give you your opportunity for you to go ahead and raise your hand because you got addictive behavior. If, for example, I was talking about how my towels in my linen closet have to be folded a certain way. My clothes and my drawers have to be folded a certain way. Everything has its place. I'm not OCD. I just have stuff a certain way. Right? That's addictive behavior. You know? You have addictive behavior too. You have addictive behavior too. I'm just saying. So I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you're not afraid, to raise your hand and say, hi, my name is, and I'm an addict. One, two, three, come on. Hello, welcome. Welcome. Talking about this trap house. And when it's not the enemy that's dealing you your drug of choice, notice, it is the enemy within that is dealing you your drug of choice. It is you that causes yourself to become ensnared or trapped inside of this house. But I want to be free. I want God to come and abide in this place. Like Paul tells me, this body is supposed to be the sanctuary, the dwelling place, the house of God. And I want God to come in and dwell in this place. So we find ourselves in the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs. And it says, when pride cometh. And that's the thing that we must understand. It's subtle. It's one of those spiritual struggles that we deal with that is not just rah, rah, rah. You kind of just ease into this thing, and before you know it, you in full-blown pride. Before you know it. So the thing that trips people up is they don't think that they can actually be prideful, or they're not been prideful, or they're incapable of walking in pride, because, you know, my mama taught me to be grateful. My mama taught me to say thank you. Doesn't matter. I want to show you something. Two extremes of pride. When you come from poverty, pride. And then when you got a lot of money, pride. For example, when you have a lot of money, you deal with pride. You believe that you're better than everybody else. But when you broke and don't have no money, you too prideful to beg. Or, okay, I'm not going to call it beg, but you too prideful to ask for help when you really need help. Pride will not allow you to ask for help. Pride will not allow you to reveal that, hey, I cannot help myself. Even when it's not necessarily something that's dealing with money. I'm struggling in school and I can't get my stuff together. I can't get my act together. I should have a grasp on this. I should be able to understand this and make good grades on this. But pride won't let you raise your hand and say, teacher, I'm struggling. Can you help me? Because I don't want nobody to think that I'm not intelligent. So I want to appear to be cool. And so I refuse to raise my hand. The truth be told, you acting in pride. Oh, with your prideful self full of pride. And you just look around like you know what you're doing and you so lost. You know, that's how some of our youth be looking. You know, you try to look around sly to see if anybody else is feeling the way you feeling and looking the way you looking. You be like, you trying to take this false scan of the room to see who else is struggling. Trying to see it. Am I the only one that does not get it? Understand this concept? Because the other thing, pride don't want you to be alone. Oh, I'm going to talk about me. When I didn't understand something in school, I was not raising my hand. And this would be a sure thing that I would pray. Father, please don't let her call on me, please. Jesus, please don't let her call me, please.
I don't know how to do it.
Oh, some of the children know what I'm talking about. That may be the only time they pray in school. Please don't let them call on me. Please don't let them call on me because I don't want to go up and embarrass myself. And then you try to act all busy. You know, you just, Not even understanding that you just put a target on your back. They about to call on you. Because you're not making any eye contact. You seem to be involved in every other thing than what I'm actually teaching. And you want to give the appearance. Now look at this. Give the appearance, they're going to fear the false evidence appearing real. You're afraid that if you get called upon, you're about to embarrass yourself. So I'm going to give the appearance that I know what I'm doing. I'm going to give the appearance that I'm all into what you're teaching and just be busy praying. Lord, please don't let the teacher call on me. She kind of come here to the board. Isn't that how it happens? Nathan, come to the board. You look and you start looking for your pencil. You don't need the pencil at the board. What are you doing? I'm looking for my pen. You don't need the pencil at the board. Why would you not raise your hand and ask for help? We understand the answer is pride. But do you understand when you raise your hand to ask for help, you are actually combating or fighting the pride? Why would you not fight the pride that you deal with? You, with your smart, intelligent self. So smart, so intelligent, that you won't raise your hand though. And then on the other side, you walk in here, you come in here with your Air Jordans on. Let's just walk around the room. With your Chuck Taylors on. With your Vans on. With your Jordans on. With your Nikes on. With your hot pink or orange fluorescent, whatever color that is, orange Jordans on. Your Nikes and your checkerboard Vans on. If you look at some of these kids, how they take care of their shoes, scuff mark. Pride. You're taking pride in what's on your feet and what's on your back, right? But you ain't taking no pride in the fact that your grades. You take no pride in how obedient you are. You don't take no pride in that. Right? We take no pride in that, though. Soon as you get a scuff mark on your shoe, you trying to clean that thing. But as soon as you disobey, you're not trying to get that right. To get it right is to clean it up, right? Gave you a simple instruction. Simple instruction. Before you left my presence, you didn't get clarity. Mind you, I said the simple instruction 5 times. You still didn't get clarity when you left my presence. So you did not fulfill the simple instruction, so you messed that up. But you think you came to clean that up. Mama, I'm sorry, I didn't do what you said. Daddy, I'm sorry, I didn't do what you said. I apologize, forgive me. See, the same way you take pride in cleaning up your shoes, you won't clean up your life that quick. And you'll get mad when somebody accidentally step on your shoe. What the world? Looking like handyman. Some of y'all may not go Google handyman from Olympic. I'm sitting there thinking my own head now. But you looking like handyman trying to clean your shoe, but you're not that quick to clean up your life. You'll walk around like, so what? I didn't do it. Puffed up in what? Pride. So what? I didn't do it. I was doing something for myself. Pride. I know you asked me, but I didn't have time. Pride. Where's Mike? I need my definition. Give me my definition for pride. Put pride when pride cometh, because it is coming. Number one, it says what? An often unjustified feeling of being pleased with oneself or with one's situation. Notice, feeling is underlined to put an emphasis on feeling, because pride takes you on a ride, meaning it drives you. Y'all know the term we say, driven by your emotions, driven by your flesh. So anytime you're driven by your emotions or your flesh, you can easily find yourself being taken on a ride by pride. And what type of feeling is it? Unjustified. Where is the justice in you feeling what you feel? In other words, simply put, what is right? What makes it right that you get to feel what you feel? See, I'm not just talking to the children anymore. I'm talking to everybody up here. What makes it right? What makes it justifiable that you're able to feel what you feel? When the Bible tells you your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, so 9 times out of 10, what you're feeling is false or incorrect. What justifies you feeling what you feel? The root behind all of this is what? Pride. It's an unjustified feeling of being pleased with oneself. Me feeling the way I feel, when I want to feel the way I want to feel, it brings pleasure to me. Even though you deem it unjustifiable, it makes me feel good. I'm mad at you, and guess what? It feels good. I'm ignoring you, and guess what? It feels good. I'm rolling my eyes at you, and guess what? It feels good. I'm shrugging my shoulders at you, and guess what? It feels good. Whether it's right or wrong, it feels good. Because if the truth be told, doing wrong feels good. Because the Bible tells us what? Sin, doing something wrong, missing the mark, or wandering from the way. Pleasure before season, meaning it feels good for a certain amount of time. So we understand sin is doing something that is not right. Sin is doing something that is wrong. But doing something wrong can feel good. Guess what? Think about it. When you've lied and it appears that you got away with it, it felt good. That's why you tried it again. Right, Jeremy? You know what I'm talking about? Right? Like, dang, she believed it. Oh. Right, Nathan? Right? He believed it. I don't know. Why did you? I don't know. This I don't know, spirit. I don't know, devil. Right? It felt good when you lied, right? Yeah. Let me tell you how it made you feel good. It made you feel like you were smarter than your parents, right? Oh, go ahead and shake your head. Shake your head hard, Gabriel. Shake it, Gabe. Gabe, shake his head like this. Head banging back there off that one. Head bang, Gabe. Oh, yes. Go ahead and get free. Made me feel like I was smarter than them. They too slow. They can't even keep up with me. That's how they feel. They feel they're running laps around us. They feel we don't know nothing. Now, I must confess, my children call me slipping. They call me slipping. Oh, they got Facebook, Instagram, Snap of the Chat. Yeah, I said it like that. Snap of the Chat. They got all, and I'm like, when did you get that? You know what makes you feel crazy and you want to rise up and pry? When somebody else got to tell you about your child. Somebody else had to tell me my child had a Facebook page. Because you on Facebook, hi to them, but I'm not your friend. You know not to friend me, right? So if you befriend me, that's going to give it away. But you didn't check all your sources. You went and befriended somebody who actually stole on you. I was like, what the world? Nah, they didn't. Stop lying. When they told me they got a Facebook, stop lying. You lying. Oh, they're not lying. When I went to go check, sure enough, I said, wow, caught me slipping. I got to get up on my prayer game. Oh, yeah, you know I don't know all the stuff. I done heard that one, too, the TikTok. TikTok. And what is the other one? Musical.ly. That one I've heard, the house party. Oh, yes. Oh, you got it. Man, there's so many apps these children got. Some of them, I don't even know what they mean. But you better be on your game. Because they in so much stuff, it's ridiculous. But the pride that they deal with makes them think that they're getting over. They're smarter than us. Huh. And it makes them feel a certain type of way. Oh, yes. Then look at definition number. How was your prom? Ms. Vaughn? Okay, that's what's up. I'm just trying to look. Huh? Oh, you want me to tell you? I'm just looking to make sure you got no hickey on your neck. None of that stuff. That's good. You can be serious and all that. Well, I was a child. I was a little boy. No, that's good. I'm glad you did that. My hat is off to you. Mm. But this is where we'll play games. This is where we can't be naive. Because we forget. Right? And my wife was like, I told y'all one of my children had a little boy forever. I was like, you got a what? No, you can like whoever you want to like, but boyfriend, I think not. Right? But my wife was like, well, Lincoln, they don't even talk that much. So? What they got to do with it because they don't talk that much on the phone? How much are they talking at school? They're not in the same class. Again, so? Because guess what? We made plans to meet outside of class and, hey, meet me at such and such time, at such and such place. Ask your teacher, can you go get some water? Ask your teacher, can you go to the bathroom? And we gonna go meet up, and we gonna go kiss, and we gonna go meet up, and I'ma touch your butt, and we gonna meet up, and you gonna show me you, and I'ma show you me, and we gonna meet up, and we gonna see how much we can get done in this short amount of time. Do I have a witness in the house? You ain't got no boyfriend. Ain't nothing new under the sun. We already did that. You just got more help with yours. You got technology. We ain't have all of that. We was writing notes. We were writing notes. Your stuff is just quicker. Yeah, yeah. Hey, get this. Hey, pass that. Pass that right there. No, man, don't read it. Don't read it, man. Pass that right there. You just don't have the middle, man. We had middlemen and middle women. That's all I'm saying. You ain't doing nothing we haven't already done. Definition number two tells us for pride, it says, inordinate self-esteem. It is unregulated. Nobody checks you about your self-esteem. You swear you the bum.com. It's all about you and nobody else. You don't even understand operating this level of pride. Baby, you are narcissistic. See, we're getting into other stuff right there. Trap house. When your self-esteem, this inordinate self-esteem goes unchecked, you care about nobody else but you. I only want to do what I want to do, what makes me happy. It's about me. You use folk, mishandle folk, mistreat folk, abuse folk, because it's all about you. Because for so long, you felt that wasn't about you. You were made to believe and made to feel that it wasn't about you. And now this pride has you rising to make you feel that it's only about you. That's why you tell yourself, you know what? I'm going to be happy. It's my time to be happy. I'm about to live my best life. Living my best. Oh, you better be careful with that living my best life. You have actually called for pride to come into your life. Living my best life. I don't care nothing about Pastor Joel Osteen wrote that. I don't care nothing about a pastor wrote it. Because when understand who wrote the book. The largest church in America, buku money, he can go wherever he want, when he want, buy whatever he want, when he want. So of course he living his best life, so it seems. He's the poster child for ministry. This is my Bible. God bless him. God bless him. He's doing his thing. I'm just saying, he's the poster child for ministry. Good hair, perfect teeth, pretty wife, big successful ministry. Oh. You better understand who wrote it, living his best life. He not out here with all these, I ain't got to have 15,000 locations. With my one location, I still got the largest church in America. He living his best life. You will misinterpret that. Oh, I'm on the come up. And there's nothing wrong with you on the come up, coming up. But you better pay attention to how you come up. Because see, when somebody cannot check your self-esteem, when you allow yourself to feel yourself too much, when you start smelling yourself too much, you actually close your ability to hear somebody telling you something. Whatever is right is what you deem to be right. Whatever is right is what's right in your eyesight. Oh, I'm telling you, pride will mess you up. And the simple third definition is just arrogant. It's arrogant. Your responses are arrogant. Your behavior is arrogant. Your reactions are arrogant. You shrug your shoulder arrogantly. You roll your eyes arrogantly. You get dressed in arrogance. Definitions of pride. Take me back to the scripture. He says what? When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowliest wisdom. So when pride comes, guess what is coming with pride? And see, for most of us, we say, if I were to ask you, what is one thing you don't want to happen or you do not like? Most of us are going to say, I don't like being embarrassed. Well, I don't like being shamed. But guess what? Pride is taking you on a ride to end up where you say you don't want to be. This is the thing. When pride drops you off at shame, you don't get to control what the embarrassment of the shame is going to be. Neither do you get to control who is going to bring the embarrassment or the shame. pride is just going to drop you off. And again, like Pastor Kier said, or you don't get to control how long you about to buy on shame circle. Shame way, okay. He said, but with the lowly is wisdom. With the humble is wisdom. We don't understand. The scriptures just tell us what the humble or what the lowly is wisdom. We don't know what had to happen in their life to bring them to a low place. But guess what? They decided, I'm going to remain in this low place because I've learned. Being high minded, it's not going to bode well for you. It's not going to end well for you. He said, so with the lowly or with the humble comes wisdom. There is wisdom with people who are humble. Right? Give me the next scripture. Proverbs what? Proverbs number 13 and 10. It says what? Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride. So, wherever there's contention and strife, every evil worker is present, right? Right? Isn't that what the word let us know? What is the common denominator here that brought the contention? So, we understand contention simply means what? Fighting, arguing, quarrelsome, all of that. Just fighting, disputing. We'll put it like that. Fighting. If there's fighting, if there's arguing, and in the relationship, in the house, parents, children, siblings, whatever, spouses, pride. Now, who is going to be real enough to say, me, I'm the prideful one? Because when you don't care about their response, oh, you're the prideful one. When you want to shut it down, whatever, you're the prideful one. But the truth be told, we both could be operating in pride, and we brought a double portion of contention and strife. But it says only by pride. So you fighting because of what? Somebody is walking in pride. Somebody does not want to humble themselves, because with the lowly or with the humble is wisdom. But if we cannot hear wisdom, someone, now we got to determine, we got to find out, we got to discern, we got to pray, who's operating in the pride? Because only by pride cometh fighting, disputings, and divisions, and quarrels. Right? This is what the word says, right? So notice, children, teenagers, when you can't get it right with your friend, because there's nothing that happened that's so bad that you can't forgive one another. Well, she shouldn't try to holler at my boyfriend. I'm not even going to go there. He's your boyfriend. He's your boyfriend. I just want you to hear yourself say that. He's my boyfriend. I wonder else who's saying that. Who else is saying he's my boyfriend? But you mad at your homegirl because he gave the appearance that she tried to holler at me. When in reality, somebody's been in his ear. Nah, bruh, she like you too. When all he's seen in his own household is he's seen unfaithful men. He saw unfaithful men watch other unfaithful men on television, listen to other unfaithful men in the music that he listens to. And so guess what? It is not a breeding ground to be what? Unfaithful. Your first instinct is to take it out on your homegirl. And she tried to holler at my boyfriend. What? Show me the proof that she tried to holler at your boyfriend. Have you ever asked your boyfriend what did he say to her? Now, you ain't gonna ask your boyfriend that, right? Because you don't want no problems with your boyfriend. Your boyfriend, he's incapable of doing anything wrong. He got a halo over his head, right? Yeah, he got a halo over his head. That's what some of them believe. He wouldn't do that. Why he wouldn't? Well, let me ask you a question. Are you so committed to your boyfriend? Like you want us to believe you're so committed to your boyfriend? Are you so committed to your boyfriend? If I were to ask your mama what your boyfriend name is, I bet your mama can't tell me what your boyfriend name is. That shows her how committed you are. But you're so committed, right? You're so committed to your boyfriend. Deacon Eugene is your best friend. Deacon Eugene, do you know her boyfriend name? Oh, my God. Or does anybody know what your so-called girlfriend name is? We're not going to act like you're not of age where you're not thinking about no boyfriend and no girlfriend, because you are. Oh, yes. But you're so committed to them. Then why we don't know their name? If it's so right and it's not wrong, why we don't know their names? If y'all didn't catch it, that's the sound of the angel. Why no one know? Okay, forget knowing their names. Why won't even know they exist? That's all I'm trying to figure out. Why we don't know they exist? Okay, why we gotta find it? Find out that they exist. Yeah. Then if we really were to get real, if you're so committed to one, committed to her, I'm gonna leave that alone. I'm gonna back out of that. We so quick to turn on our little homegirl or our homeboys. Because we don't believe our boyfriend or our little girlfriend would lie to us. What? I want to know, what do you really mean to them that you believe that they won't lie to you? You think you mean more to them than they mom and they daddy who putting the shoes and the clothes on their feet and on their back, but they fix their mouth to lie to their parent, and you think they won't lie to you? I mean, think about it. Why did you lie to your parents? There was something that you were trying to get when you lied. Whether it was get away, get off, not get a whooping, not get punished, get grace. You were trying to get something. Oh, get some chips, another piece of chicken, some ice cream, whatever you were trying to get. You had a goal in mind that you were trying to get something, acquire something. So if you would fix your mouth to lie to your parents, and they would fix their mouth to lie to their parents, then what makes you think you off limit that they won't lie to you? Because trust me, you've lied to them. Let me show you how. You say you're so committed to them, but you lied to them. When you was on the phone past the time you supposed to be on the phone when your mama came in up, you did not want to come down this way of shame, right? So they was like, what happened? I was calling your name. Oh, I had to go to the bathroom. Lie, you lied to them. Tell them your mama came in the room, you got cold, and you did not want to be embarrassed. You didn't want them to say, I know you're not on the phone, because see, that's what I would do with mine. I know you're not on the phone. I'm going to turn it into a message. No, he's not all right. I know you're not on the phone. Just cut a damn fool with mine. Oh, yes. Some of y'all know we get that silly. But you so committed to them, but yet you lied to them. So now if you willing to lie to them because you don't want to be embarrassed, what make you think they not lied to you? Because you want to believe that angel. Ooh. What a deception. only by pride come a contention, but with the well advice is wisdom. But with the well advice is wisdom. Wisdom will be the advice that comes with those that are well, those who are humble, low. The advice will be that of wisdom. I'm telling you, when you take advice from a prideful individual, they're going to always give you advice pertaining to you. Pertaining to you. And it'll make it sound so good. For example, you got to do what's best for you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you know somebody? Can you really? No, you got to do what's best for you. Have you ever just... What do you really mean when you say that? What are you saying? Have you questioned that? You got to do what's best for you. All right? So y'all are familiar with the term. What are they really saying? They're teaching you a selfish principle. Now we get it. When you make decisions, yeah, you make a decision for yourself, your well-being and all these things. But guess what? No matter what decision you make, it's not just going to affect you. It is going to affect everybody that is connected to you. And I guarantee you, when they tell you, you got to do what's right for you or you got to do what's best for you, I guarantee you, you are not thinking about who else is connected to you when you make your decision. Because they have got you emotional, reminding you of what you feel and what you're going to feel and what you have felt. So now make a decision based off what you felt. You got to do what's right for you. What? If I did what was right for me all the time, you know what? Like, what I thought was right for me, you know what? My children want to have some shoes someday. If I thought what was right, because I don't think it's right to always put me last. Oh, let me just go ahead and tell the truth. I want to be last. No, I want to be last in the spiritual. But when it comes to being rewarded down here, I don't always want to be last. Because guess what? Sometimes we won't ever reach last. Last tends to come to forgotten, never going to get. Never going to get it, never going to get it. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm just saying. Talking about I'm last. I've been waiting for 5 years. Oh, see, that's just what I'm saying. But if I did what I thought was right for me, what was best for me, then I would be fly too. I'll be young, fly, and say, Willie Moore. I'll be young, fly, and say, man. Right? Give me my last scripture. I have number three scripture. Scripture in Obadiah, chapter number 1, verse number 3. God sends this word to the prophet Obadiah. Concerning the Edomites. And the Edomites are descendants of Esau, Jacob's brother. The Israelites are descendants of Jacob. So in other words, they all family. But the Edomites, they don't like their brothers and their cousins, them, the Israelites. The issue is, God has just delivered the Israelites from Egypt. Moses being their leader sends word to the king of Edom, may we pass through your land en route to our promised land. We'll stay on one specific road, the king's road, this important road. We won't deviate. We won't mess with your crops. We won't mess with your water. And if our animals should happen to drink your water, we'll pay for it. Just allow us to pass through. We won't make any trouble. The king sends word back, no, not coming through our land. You gonna walk around. Sends word again. Can we go through the land? Response is the same. No. But after the second no, the Babylonians then move in on the Israelites and attack them. But who comes and aids the Babylonians are the Edomites. They're making war while we're traveling to our destination. But see, this is why you better thank God for God being with you. Even when the enemy tries to sneak attack, God has a way. And then God sends the word. He said, the pride of thine heart have deceived thee. So understand this journey that pride takes you on. When a person is fluent or under the influence of pride, pride brings deception into the heart of the individual. And we understand in the Bible, heart and mind are words that are used interchangeably. Heart in the Hebraic is considered to be the center of the emotions. It is considered to be the place that the Jews made decisions from. So understand, he said, the pride of thy heart hath deceived thee. When a person is flowing or under the influence of pride, guess what? Their heart is deceived. What you think is true is not true. What you think is right is not right. Because guess what? Your heart is deceived. Why? Because of what? Pride. And we don't notice how pride has taken us on journey. Drops you off at shame way, shame circle. Brings you to division alley. You understand? And just drop you off right there. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, that thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock. And when you talk about clefts, it is talking about these secret places, right? Matter of fact, it's called the place of concealment in the Hebrew. The clefts is called the place of concealment. So notice how pride will cause you to conceal things, hide things. You deal in a place of concealment. That's where you deal. You deal with everybody from a place of concealment. You deal with everybody from a place of secrecy when you're in pride. Because you don't want nobody to know your business. You don't want nobody to know what you got going on. For example, like we talked about, financially you need help, but you don't want nobody to know that you're struggling. So pride will not make you ask for help. So I'm going to conceal the fact that I'm broke, but I'm going to look the part. Because mama told me, put my best face on, wash my face, and smile. But a smile not going to pay that bill. You can go try. You can go right down there to the bill place, pay station, and smile, and tell me what happened. I'm going to go down there. What? We're going to get all five of us in our house. Tell me if it worked. I'll take a picture of the dog, and we all wear a picture of the dog with him smiling. Listen, this the whole household, we smiling. Let me know if a smile worked for you. Because that's what we've been taught. Mama told us this is what we are supposed to do. No, mama taught you to be prideful is what mama taught you. Daddy taught you to be prideful is what they taught you. There's going to come a point where we all need help. And the type of help, it would vary. It would be different types of help that you would need. It's not always financial. Sometimes you need help, meaning you just need a shoulder to cry on. Or you just need somebody to listen or hear you. That's what I tell my wife someday. Listen, I just need you to hear me. I don't need a response. I'm not looking for a response. I just need you to hear me. She's helping me. Why? Because she's becoming an ear for me to get out what's in my system. So there's different ways you can help people and different ways that you actually need help. But pride will not allow us to let people know that we need help because you want everybody to think you got it. You want all of us to believe that you're a wonder. Nothing rattles you. Nothing moves you. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of stuff be moving me. Because you know, I'm going to tell you why it moves me, because I'm human. Simple as that, because I'm human, it moves me. But give me an opportunity to go talk to God, and then I'm going to be all right. But until I have that opportunity to go talk to God, guess what? There is a good possibility, there is a good chance that some things are going to move me. It's going to upset me, going to make me emotional. I may even doubt God. Oh, no, God, I don't know if you're going to do this. God, I don't know, man. But give me an opportunity to go talk to God. Just a couple of how God reigns. Just let me get a couple of how God reigns and your kingdom reigns forever. Let me just get in me a couple times where I can say that. And I know I'm going to be all right. He said, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. So notice, pride takes you on this journey. It either takes you high or brings you back down low. Or it then takes you high or brings you back down low. But nevertheless, the ending place is to take you to the trap house to keep you ensnared by pride. Because even though you might have rode along with pride, the trap house can be the shame. It can be the contention where it drops you off here and leaves you here. Because think about it. How many days you've been prideful? You got in an argument, but the argument lasted 2 weeks. Not because y'all were verbal anymore, but now we arguing in silence now. I'm going to see who can be the loudest in being quiet. Snatching stuff all in silence. But your body language is screaming. Y'all are screaming at one another. You used to, I love you, have a good day at work. Now it, man, hurry up and get out. You helping them close the door now. Like, get out the car. You speeding off, silently arguing. So you don't even understand how pride has just dropped you off here at contention. Contention has become the trap house for you. And then when you realize how crazy you've been acting, now you feel shame. Pride has came and pick you back up. Get in. You got in, and pride has just dropped you off at shame.
I just want to say, I'm sorry for how I acted. I really acted a fool. I was really acting.
Now you feel embarrassed because you got to come tell the truth about your actions. This is the thing. You didn't feel embarrassed while you were doing it. You were big and bad enough to do it. But only now that you got to come own up to it, now you're embarrassed. Some folk will even just start crying. What you crying for? They ain't even said nothing yet. What? And then all that just is, there are some people, sorry can't even come out their mouth. They struggle with saying, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm telling you a truth. They'll try to get sophisticated. They won't even use the word sorry. I apologize. Wait, get out of here. You need to say sorry. Do the Josiah. And the prophet is beneath it. Going there today. I'm just saying. Some people struggle with saying, I'm sorry. If the word sorry struggles to come out of your mouth, pride. All it is pride. Pride wants you to conceal it and make you feel like you're taking the high road because you're telling myself, I apologize. Get out of here. You get out of here. There's nothing wrong. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with you saying you apologize. But some of you, instead of saying I apologize, you need to say I'm sorry. Stop crying. Oh, yeah. See, some of them, you need to, no, stop crying. No, go ahead and dry your face. Oh, see, I wait on mine. Go ahead and get all that out. Go. You need to blow your nose again? Go blow your nose again. Come on back. Now, what are you trying to say? Yeah, come on down. Calm it down. What are you trying to say? Say it. I'm sorry. You what? I'm sorry. You what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then that thing breaks. Once they come out of the cupboard, I'm sorry. Then they start sobbing for real. See, all of that was just anger. That's all it was. The pride had you angry because you had to actually apologize. You had to be accountable for what you did. That's all it was. It was the anger. So all we doing is pushing through the anger. Get gone. Get past that. My nose running again. Go ahead and blow it again. Blow all them anger devils out. Get them all out. That's all it is anger. But once that sorry, that real I'm sorry comes out, they begin to break. Now, come on. Come on, love on me. Because notice, if it's not that real I'm sorry, they'll come right in there, I pop, and walk right on out. If you're sorry, why you ain't reconnect with me? Because with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, you're going to sure try to reconnect. I'm sorry. I will never do that again. I love it, you. XO, XO. Smiley face eggplant. Oh, yeah. Well, they got quad then. They got quad then. Peach, too, right? Well, they got quad then. Because they know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you're trying to connect with them. You're trying to reconnect with them. That's all. I'm getting out y'all way. But when you had to come to your parent or to an adult, I apologize. Walk right out the room. There was no reconnecting. Oh, you're lying. That's why you make them. See, I'm getting smart. I let them walk all over to their room. Come here. Just like that. Don't I be acting a fool like that. Come here. You want to play dumb? I'm going to play dumb. what are you doing? I was going to my room.
Really?
Okay. So what are you going to do in your room? See, they don't want to stand there. Because see, the longer you stand in front of me and you know you haven't reconnected to me, that is more conviction coming upon you. Because you have to deal with me. You still have not dealt with me in the correct manner. So you feel bad having to talk to me like that. Just get it out the way. And I'm sorry. I'm going to leave you alone, but you don't want to do that. You want to be all hard, but I'm going to show you just how hard you are. That's why I'm going to, huh? All I'm doing is tearing through your false hardness. You soft as tissue that you wipe your tail with. That's how soft you are, but you think you hard. The proof, because you crying over this boy. But you so hard. But you so hard. He ain't put no ring on your finger. Now, according to Jewish culture, when he know who he gonna marry, he go away for a while and go build her a house. That's why Christ said, no, listen, I'm going away to prepare a mansion for you. He's going to go build you a house, his bride. Tell me, what ring has he given you? Tell me, what house has he built you? But you crying over him? Has he gave you his check? Any portion of his check? Just a portion. Because the Bible tells us the Lord is our portion. Has he given you a portion of his check? Just a portion. Has he gave you a and you crying over him? You so soft. You so soft. Thank you so hard. Father, we just thank you for this word. We're not gonna hitchhike for pride. No, we not. Put your thumb down. We ain't gonna be hitchhiking for no pride. Because guess what? When you flowing in anger, you actually hitchhiking for pride. Lord, we're not going to be hitchhiking for pride. No, we're not. If I'm in the car, God, tuck and roll, I'm jumping out. Oh, no, I would rather get a couple of scrapes and bruises, but I'll be free. Pride trying to drop you off somewhere, let shame and division and contention strap you up in chains and lock you there. I ain't trying to be in nobody's house right down the street for 15 years, and I'm just down the street because shame got me, contention got me. Oh, no. Right in the same room with somebody, but they don't even know I'm there because I'm locked up. No. I'm jumping out that car in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So I'm going to put your hands together for the word in Jesus' name.